Okay, we are on Chaf Aleph on the Beis. We are in the midst of the Chanukah sugyas. A couple of noteworthy questions that are all asked in Yoni Chanukah. Just to remember a couple of the questions. Number one, we mentioned Derech Agav yesterday, and that yesterday or the day before, I don't remember. And that is why there are no Mishnayos about Chanukah. We're going to get to one side mentioned today, but there are no Mishnayos. When Rabbi Yudanasi wrote the Mishnayos, there's no Masechas Chanukah. So even if you want to say, there's not enough to have a whole Masechta about Chanukah, so Megillah gets its own, and it's only about half the Masechta. Half of Masechta's Megillah is about Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah and Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. So that's what you could figure out a way to put into Hilchos Chanukah. It comes in through Bava Malikin and Halakas Neir Shabbos, and the Gemara brings it in. But why aren't there Mishnayos about Chanukah? So so there are many answers given. Maybe it's the Yontif of Torah Shebal Peh, so you want to make sure it's Bal Peh. It's not even in the Bal Peh that was written down. The Chassam Sofer that we mentioned yesterday was that maybe it's by things, by mitzvos that are so common that everybody does, tefillin and tzitzis and other mitzvos like that. So maybe Rabbi Yudanasi didn't feel a need to write them down, which is a chiddush based on the Rambam and the Pirush of Mishnayos and Menachos, which is a chiddush because there are a lot of mitzvos that are somewhat common that are written down. So what is the cutoff point between written and not written? But that's one approach that is taken. Another question, famous question, which we're not going to deal with, and that's the Sefer Ner Lameya, which is why is Chanukah 8 days and not 7 days? If the Nes was only set, we read yesterday, there was Lo Hayabo El Halak Yom Echad, they had one. So why there are 8 days of Chanukah? Many answers given. Some the Gra had the Girsa, Lo Hayabo Afilu Lahavlik Yom Echad. So according to that, even the first day was a Nes, because it didn't even have light to light the first day. But the other question that I wanted to give two answers to, and that is why the whole story here discusses the Nes of the Pach HaShemen. Right? They found this Tahar oil. So the question that many Achronim ask is Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. We have a concept that even if there is Tumah regarding all of Klal Yisrael, let's say there are all Tumah, we just had Pesach Sheni yesterday, right? If all of Bnei Yisrael are Tumah, Rov, so then what do? You do the Pesach Rishon B'tumah. Why? Because Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur. Tumah is pushed aside when it comes to an entire Klal. When it comes to individuals, okay, so you have one person, he's going to wait until Pesach Sheni. Or one person can't do this. But if you have the whole or most the majority of Bnei Yisrael that are Tumah, there's a concept, okay, Do it anyway. So the question is, why did they need this nes? Why did they need the nes? The fun of the Pach HaShemen. So everything's tummy. So use tummy oil. It's a big deal. So you'll use tummy oil for a week until you make new shemen. So that's another question with many answers. Just two different approaches that are given by Achronim on this daf. So let's learn Misach HaShabbos now. This daf, the Pnei Yeshua and Rabbi Yosef Engel, the Gilyon HaShas. The Pnei Yeshua asked this question, Yachor Yishla Tamua, why do you need this nes? So he says, V'lakach nira de'ikar ha'nes lo nasa, why was the nes done? Elohudi Elohem chibas hamakom aleihem. The whole nes of Chanukah was why? To show that Hashem loves us. To show that Hashem's Shechina is still with us. Like we're going to read today, the menorah symbolizes the Hashras HaShechina amongst Klal Yisrael, and we might have thought that throughout, right, in the whole story of Chanukah, maybe the Hashmonai, the Yevanim, and the Misyavnim, and everything was happening, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset. He gives us such a nes that we don't even need. We don't need this nes, but still to show us that He loves us. Like other nes have happened to show that He loves us. Because they said, as we mentioned yesterday, the Greeks, they wanted to cut off the connection between God and the Jews. They wanted to take spirituality out of the Beis HaMikdash. Have your temple, bring your sacrifices. We don't want to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. We don't want to be metame the Beis HaMikdash. Right? So therefore they said, that's all we want. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu Dafka gives a nes to show, no, I'm still connected to Am Yisrael. I still love them, I'm going to do a nes for them. That's what the Pnei Yeshua says. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a different shot, beautiful thought, and this is a great, it's a great anybody ever wants to use this for Sheva Brachas, or for Afrav, or for Tanam, or for Bris, any Simcha, this is a great vart. So says Rabbi Yosef Engel, why did they need the nes? So he quotes, because, Tekiva Dehoyaz Chanukas Habayis, given the Chanukah, he davar haschaliv rashi l'chol haba acharav l'kach hutzach shiye b'tara gemura lo b'tchias tuma. Yes, in general, we have the concept of tuma hutzach b'tzibur, but that's a b'dieved. When you start something, when there's a project starting, you're making the Beis HaMikdash new, afresh. It's got to be pure. It's got to be perfect. All beginnings have to be on solid ground. You can't start off with a b'dieved. That's what he says. And he brings a couple of other examples. He says, that's why the Balei Tosfos and Shemini say that Nadav and Avihu had to die. on the day of the Chanukah as a Mishkan. Why? What'd they do? They drank, they paskin, they did all the pshatim, they didn't get married. What they have to die for? When it comes to the beginnings, beginnings have to be perfect. Can't have any blemish, any stain. If the foundation isn't strong, then the whole building is going to fall down. Because that's why there has to be the beginnings have to be pure. He quotes two other examples, but he says that's the message. So you can relate this. Oh, when it comes to a marriage, it has to be perfect. Right? You know how to relate it. V'hameivin yavin. Okay. That's why today's beautiful, the wonderful relationship today, etc. Fine. Let's go back to the Gemara. Where are we up to? So we just finished telling the Chanukah story. Six lines from the bottom of Chaf Aleph Beis. Tanan Hasam. Gates. So now we bring the only Mishnah in Shas that mentions Neiris Chanukah. It's a Mishnah in Baba Kama. Baba Kama, the end of the sixth parak. What's it doing there? We'll see. Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah says, Gates Ayoti Mitachas Apathish V'yotzev V'hizekhayiv. Somebody smashed it with his hammer, and a spark flies out from his hammer and does damage to his friend's property. He's chayiv. He's responsible. It's not only if I damage directly. If I do something and a spark goes out. Gamal Sheton. If my camel is walking through the street, imagine the old Arab shuk. You have a little walkway. You have all these stores on the side that are kind of like smushed close to the street. So my camel is walking through the shuk, and he has all these bundles on top of him. And I weighed down my camel so much, and it spread so much across that some of the wares on my camel go into the store. They're leaning over so much, it goes into the store. And what happens? The storekeeper has a candle on in his shop, and my flax that's on my camel lights with the candle, but hilka sabira, and I burn down the whole store. So what's the halacha? Bala gamal chayiv. The owner of the camel is chayiv. Why? Because it's my responsibility. My flax or my camel went into the guy's store, so therefore I'm responsible. But what happens? But what happens if my bundles didn't go into the store, but it was outside, and the guy's candle outside on the street for some reason? What does he have his candle outside for? Have it inside the house. Why does he have his candle outside the street? And then the whole place burns down? Then he's responsible for my flax. Right? Because he put his candle outside. What does he have his candle outside there? That's why he's responsible. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Here it is. Kuner Chanukah Pater. Kuner Chanukah. If he has the candle outside, then the Baal Chenvani is pater. Why? Because he nicha bershus, because there he's allowed to have it outside. That's the Iker Mitzvah, like we were learning yesterday. Mitzvah ha-nicha petzel beis mibachutz. So therefore, if the candle is outside, then it is the Baal Chenvani is not chayev. That is the only reference in Shas. Shas meaning Shisha Sidra Mishnah to the Mitzvah of Neiris Chanukah. That Shita of Rebbe Yehuda in Baba Kama Perek Vav. Fine. So Amar Avina, at least the Gemara in Shabbos brings it when it talks about the rest of Chanukah. So at least it relates it there. So Amar Avina, Zos, Mishmei the Rabba, Zos Omeris, from this halacha, that the Chenvani is going to be putter if he puts his candle outside. Zos Omeris, Mitzvah, Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Anicha, Betoch Asara. It must be that the Mitzvah is to put it within 10 tefachim of the ground. Because if you're going to tell me that it could be put above 10 tvachim, so maybe the owner of the gamal could have told the storekeeper, what are you putting it so low for? Put it outside, but put it higher. You don't have to get into my camel's way. It must be because we don't say that. It must be that he's allowed to put it where he put it. So he must be allowed to put it 10 tvachim, below 10 tvachim. So where it says, no, it's not such a raya. V'dilma yimitzrach alei tuba asalim nui mimitzvah. Maybe really it could be above 10 tvachim. But we don't want to be matriach people. You know, we're scared. Once we tell people about a tircha, they're going to say, forget the whole thing. I don't want to do it. You have to write it above, because the camels, I want to do it here. If I can't do this mitzvah now, then forget it, I'm not going to do it. So really, there's no raya. We pass in lechadchila, it should be under 10 tvachim. It should be under, lechadchila under 10 tvachim. Amar of Kahana, last line. So once we're talking about where the Chanukah candle should be, we spoke about the lower limit, now let's talk about the upper limit. The Nera Chanukah, that you put above 20 amos, right, which is about 30 to 40 feet. Psula kesuku kumavui. It's pasul, like sukkah, like the schach of a sukkah can't be more than 20 amos high. Ukemavui, this we discussed at the beginning of the Mesechta. A mavui is an alleyway. Houses go into courtyards, chatzer. Courtyards go into mavuis, alleyways. So mida oraisa, if you have an alleyway, we mentioned, that's enclosed on three sides. Right, blast from the past. Remember, that wasn't so long ago. Right, if you have a mavui that's enclosed on three sides, mida oraisa, that's a rishus hayachid according to Moshitos. Not like the Rambam. Mida oraisa is a rishus hayachid. Mida rabbanan, you have to be machshir the mavui. Meaning you have to put either a horizontal post or a vertical post on the fourth side in order to be able to carry within that mavui Midrabanan. The question is that that horizontal post, the halacha is it can't be above 20 amos. It's got to be within 20 amos from the ground. Just like Sukkah, just like Mavui. It's therefore Nerev Chadak as well. Rashi here explains, quoting from the other Gemaras, that something above 20 amos, lo shalat ba'ena. The eye doesn't see. And there's a concept by Sukkah that you have to see the schach in order to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nais. By the Mavui, the point is to see so you don't carry out the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And by the Chanukah, Mitzvah Persumei Nisa. It can't be above 20 amos, because that's the whole point of Nerev Chanukah. What happens if you live in an apartment building? Right, what happens if you live in an apartment building? So you're starting off 200 amos in the sky. So that's a major discussion in the postkin. What should be done in that case? The Piskei Tshuvos here in the Hilchos Chanukah quotes, what do you do? So he quotes from the Shaar HaTzion in the Mishnah Berurah's days. You shouldn't put it all the way up in the window. Because even though the halach is the window, but nobody's going to see it up there. So maybe you shouldn't put it there. But V'yesha Kasvu, he quotes from Shevet Alevi, Rav Osner, but if there are other buildings across, there are other buildings across from you, so maybe there is a kiyum to put it in your window, even though it's 200 amos in the sky, because it's they'll see it on the other side. But it says V'yesh Cholkim, he quotes from Rav Yashiv and from Rav Sternbach, then maybe no, the Mitzvah Pesum Nisa was bedafka for the people in the street, not for people across. Therefore, it's a discussion what should be done in that place. What's the other choice? The other choice is to put it by your doorway leading to the hallway. That's a question people should ask if they have a situation, if they're lighting if they live in a building, is it better to light by the window so that people could like see these lights driving on the FDR? Sometimes you see the lights in the on those apartments on the Lower East Side over there, you see them in the windows. Or is it better to light by the hallway where the people, at least from the building, can see? Again, it relates to the issue that we discussed yesterday, the Diyuk and Rashi, is there Persumei Nisa for non-Jews or not? That was the Diyuk and Rashi by Ridley Tzarmudoy. It's for the Bnei Bayis, but we try to be Mekayim both. Even if we put it by the window, we see it and they see it. Okay, Amar Rav Kahana. We're on the second line. For those of you who just walked in, you got to listen to get what we just said. Okay, the Amar Rav Kahana. Yeah, what were you going to say? Sorry? Does Rabbi Yehuda say... does he say these? I'm not sure. Rabbi Yehuda, who was machshir a sukkah above 20 amos. I don't think so, because Rabbi Yehuda holds, the Gemara says, because he holds diras keva. Sukkah is diras keva. That doesn't have to do anything with Mavui and Chanukah. So I would guess that he does not say it here. The Amar of Kahana, famous few lines. Maybe the most famous few lines in Shabbos. Dar Shabbat Nasabar Miyomim Shedir Bitanchim. My Dechsev Abar Rekein Bo Mayim. Why is it, what does it mean by Yosef that the pit was empty, there was no water? It says it was empty. Of course there was nothing in it. It says it was empty. Of course there was no water. What is the extra phrase, there was no water? There was no water, but there was snakes and scorpions. So we discussed much has been written about these few lines, just one ha'ara, and that is the Torah Tamimah, which says similar, others I think I've said this as well. The Torah Tamimah of Vayeshev asks two questions. Number one, Ma Inyan Shvitei Tzlach Sinai, what is this Gemara doing here? Right? Wonderful, it's about, what does that do with Chanukah? A. B. He asks a question on that whole story. It said, Nechashem Ha'akrabim Yeshbo, there were snakes and scorpions. The Torah describes that when they threw him into the pit, they were saving him. They were saying, oh, they were big tzaddikim. They weren't killing him. They were throwing him into the pit. Snakes and scorpions. The Mishnah says in Yevamos that if a person sees a guy fall into a pit with snakes and scorpions, he could testify to his wife that the guy died. Right? And we learned earlier in Mesechus Brachas by the Shmona Esrei business that Akrabim, we quoted that Mishnah by the scorpions. So what do you do? What the brothers were such tzaddikim? What, they threw him in? They saw snakes and scorpions? Ah, says the Torah Tzvima, one shot that answers both. It says, he quotes a Mefarish. Mefarish is an explainer in Maseches Tamid, toward the end of Kachem. The Mefarish there explains by one of the Karbanos of Ophos that it says the hishlich min hamizbeah, something. It says the lashon, the verb hashlacha, to throw, and the Gemara there based on the Mefarish says ein hashlacha b'chusa mi chaf ama. Hashlacha, a throwing means 20 amos. That's what a throwing means. So it says the Torah Tamima, hey, let's use that concept over here. What does the Pasuk here say? Vayikachuhu, it says in Vayeshev, Vayashlichu oso habora. They flung him. They were mashlich him into the pit. What does the Torah Tamima say? We just learned that the verb hashlacha is 20 amos. So it must be that this pit was 20 amos deep. Now I know the answer to my questions. That's why it's doing in Masechah Shabbos, because we're talking about things that are 20 amos high, that you don't see things that are above 20 amos. So too, you don't see things below 20 amos. Right, so the pit was about more than 20 amos deep. That's why they didn't see the snakes and the scorpions. That's why they, they say it was a hatsala. They didn't know there was, they thought it was empty. They thought it was water, a little bit of water. So that solves the problem of what does it mean that they saved him? Because they didn't see the snakes and scorpions. Why couldn't they see? Loshota ba'ina, 20 amos. That's what it's doing here. Because this Gemara is talking about more than 20 amos. So then, that is something that loshota ba'ina, you don't see things underneath. Okay, so that's just one idea related to those two questions. Amar Rabba, two dots. Ner Chanukah, mitzvah l'nisa b'tefach sevucha l'pesach. We mentioned yesterday that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah to put it outside by your door. Now the Gemara adds on, not just outside by your door, but in close proximity to your door. To put it a tefach near your door. Rashi here explains, because part of the Pesumei Nisa is so that people see that it is yours. It has to be nikar that the Balabais put it there. The Hecha Manachle, where do you put it exactly? Rav Acha bar Derava Amar Miyamin, you put it on the right side going in, according to this first opinion, which means the same side as the mezuzah. Rav Shmuel Midifti Amar Mismol, the Hilchas Amar Mismol, we held Mismol, Kadesha Tehei Ner Chanukah Mismol, and mezuzah Biyamin. Right, we say opposite sides so that you could have the Ner Chanukah on the left and the mezuzah on the right. I once mentioned a couple of years ago a thought that I saw from Rabbi Blech, former rabbi of the Young Israel of Oceanside. And he wrote an article, he says, why the right and the left? So he says, when you walk into your house, you have the mezuzah on your right side. When you walk out of your house, the menorah is on your right side. Right? Because it's on the left when you walk in. What's the message? So Rabbi Blech says, the message is because in the time of the Yevanim, there were two, not only in the time of the Yevanim, but what does the menorah and what does the mezuzah symbolize? The menorah symbolizes, the whole Nes of Chanukah symbolizes that we could be Jews wherever. We could be Jews outside. The Hellenists wanted to say, no, be like us. Join our gymnasiums. Do whatever you want. What do you do in the privacy of your own home? I don't care. But when you're outside, you have to be like us. When we walk out of our house, the mezuzah is on our right, the menorah is on our right side to remind us we could be Jews outside in the field. We could be Jews wherever. Pursume Nisa. Out in public, we could be Jews. When we walk into our house, we need the opposite message. Sometimes we could say, I'll outside. There's peer pressure. There's a lot of people looking. I'll be Jews outside when I go into my house. I'll let it all go. I don't think so. I'm in private. Who's looking? The mezuzah tells us. We walk on the right side when we walk in. The mezuzah says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is watching. Hashem Silcha, Hashem Silcha Yad Yiminecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu is always watching. So we need the menorah on our right side when we walk out. We need the mezuzah on our right side when we walk in. To teach us the message is we have to be a Jew wherever we are. Outside or inside. There is an interesting Hosaf, if you look in the Ritva here, and it was also quoted in the Shiltos, that they have the line, the Ner Chanukah on the left, the mezuzah on the right, and the man with tzitzis walking through. So therefore he's surrounded by mitzvahs. That's what the Ritva adds. So he has that line, so you're really surrounded by mitzvahs. And then it's Siv, in his commentary on Shiltos, says, what's that adding? So they're walking through. See, he says two opposites. He says, one second, when do you light Hanukkah candles? At night. So what are you wearing tzitzis for? There's no mitzvah of tzitzis by night. How do you put it all together? He says, oh, this is a riot to one of two shittas. Either it's a riot to the shittas that say you have to light a little before Shkia, like we said yesterday, so move Hanukkah into the day, or it's a riot to the shittas that there is a mitzvah of tzitzis at night, like the machlokas we showed him in Menachas. So either way, you gotta have some overlap, because we're talking about their Hanukkah and tzitzis here. So that's the guidelines of the Netziv to put all that together. Okay. So that's the machlokas we've shown him. Machlokas we're machmer, but the machlokas we've shown him. If you put on clothing at night, a four-cornered garment at night, I don't think we say a bracha. You don't say a bracha, right? By talus. Let's say you put your talus on. Let's say in some shul that they wear talus from Eirith. They don't make a bracha, right, when they put it on because of that suffix. Okay, I'm reviewing my Ravasi. Also, lahartos mos kenegan er Chanukah. It's usher to count money with the light of the Neris Chanukah. What about other usages? Right, yesterday we mentioned this usher l'chishtamish la'ora. You can't use it at all. We mentioned the 2 days, Rashi and the Baal Amar. Is it because of just it should be nikar that it's yours, or the Baal Amar says it's connected to the Ner of the Beis Hamikdash? So is this a different shita? You're only allowed to not count money, but you're allowed to learn. Or is it, no, anything. So it's machlokas the Baal Amar and the Ramban here. That same Baal Amar that we mentioned yesterday. This Baal Amar says, no, this is just an example. That you can't count money, you can't do, I'm sorry, which way was it? I don't remember who said which way. One of them said that this is just, you can't even do any tzarech. Because it's connected to the Baal Amar said that, but I think I'm not sure if he said there might have been three opinions. I think the Baal Amar said there is an opinion that's usur, but this opinion just said it's a din and bizui mitzvah. So it's a din bizi mitzvah, so only this usage would be a problem, but other usages would not be. But others say that no, that all usages would be problematic. So it's a machlokas whether hartzos mos is specifically a bizayon, and other usages, like for a mitzvah, would be okay, or all usages would be asur according to this opinion. It's also 2 days in the Ritva here. But that's two ways to understand this shita of asur to count money. Shmuel says, does a ner have kedusha? Why can't you count money next to it? You lit the candles, you did the mitzvah, so what's the problem? So Rav Yosef asks on Shmuel, what do you mean? Do we find that you're allowed to do, you have to do mitzvahs with certain objects that don't have kedusha, but you still have to do it in a certain way. Does blood have kedusha? But the Tanya, we know there's a mitzvah, v'shava v'chisa. There's a mitzvah of kisui hadam. If you shecht a chaya or an oaf, not a behema, but if you shecht a chaya or an oaf, there's a mitzvah of kisui hadam, covering the blood. And it says, v'shavach, you shall pour, spill the blood, v'chisa, and cover it. But mei shavach yichaseh. Right, you have to cover the dam with what you shecht it with, in other words, your hands. Shalo yichasenu b'regel. You shouldn't, like, push some dirt or some covering with your foot. Shalo yu mitzvah. So mitzvahs shouldn't be mevuzeh in your eyes. So hachanami shlo yimitzvah bezuyas alav. So says Rav Yosef back, even if Neiros Chanukah don't have kedusha, but still there's a din of bizui mitzvah. Therefore, you can't count money next to the Neiros Chanukah. Right? We generally pass on, like we said yesterday, you can't do any tashmish. That's why we have a shamish just in case we ever use it. Right, bizui mitzvah might be a separate issue. We're going to get back to that in a minute. Are you allowed to use or get hana'ah from the sukkah decorations during sukkahs? So the answer that Rabbi Shimon Levi gives is that, what do you mean? We just learned, when it comes to a mitzvah object, you can't use it. So it's like you can't count money next to the Neiros Chanukah, you can't use the sukkah decorations. So Amar Rav Yosef, Mari Davram! That's an exclamation. What's going on here? Tali Tanya Bidelo Tanya. Right? You're taking something that is explicit in a brisa, and you're saying, where do we know that from? From something that's not explicit in a brisa. Right? You're saying, how do you know sukkah from Chanukah? What do you mean? Sukkah is the one that's clear. Sukkah, Tanya, Chanukah, lo Tanya. The Tanya, we have a brisa about sukkah. Sukkah kil chasa. Let's say you put have a kosher sukkah v'itra and you decorated it. Bikramim v'sadinim amasiyaram with special sheets v'talaba gozim you hang nuts. Afarsakim shkedim rimonim parchilei anavim v'atarosh shibalam v'yenos u'shmanim v'slasos wine honey flour you hang all these decorations up. Also salik v'hen animal soyant of achron shalchag. You can't use them until after sukkahs, even after shmini atzeres. If you made a tnai, Rashi explains that even during Ben HaShmashas, at the beginning of Yantav, you're allowed to use them, okay. A tnai might work. But basically, right, the sukkah decorations are designated and you can't use them. That's what we would call chutzah l'mitzvaso. They're designated for usage of the mitzvah. So what are you telling me? That Chanukah is the source for sukkah? No, Chanukah is not written in a brisa anywhere. Chanukah is a statement of... It's a statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Avasi. It's from Namora. So therefore, Rav Yosef says, Ela Amar Rav Yosef, Avuan Zakul Hu Dam. Really, the source for both of them is that issue of Dam, Kisi Adam, which is a pasuk in the Torah, Veshava Fahisa. So that's why he does not understand, really, how the whole conversation took place about, well, how do you know Sukkah? You know it from Chanukah. There is a big, important discussion in the Rishonim here, in Tosas Dibur Maskil Sukkah, and that is, there seems to be two concepts here. Rashi just doesn't get into it, but it seems to be two concepts here about not doing usages by mitzvahs. The Gemara earlier mentions a concept of bizui mitzvah, right? Not doing, being mevazeh, disgracing a mitzvah, counting money next to a mitzvah. That's, Gemara uses that lashon. But then this other brisa in other Gemaras is reflects the concept called huksa l'mitzvaso. Designated for a mitzvah. That has to do with bizui mitzvah. Huksal mitzvah. So if you designate something for a mitzvah, you can't use it. So how do those two concepts get together? And how do they shtim? So Tosfos here says, you need both of those concepts. Tosfos in Sukkah. Tosfos says, v'tiris, why? Because huksal mitzvaso, this is against what I said yesterday, huksal mitzvaso doesn't apply in Cholamoid. It only applies on Yantif. Masha'enki, bizui mitzvah even applies in Cholamoid. And what about, why do you need the concept of huksal mitzvah, so just bizui mitzvah? Sosva says, what happens if the sukkah falls down? Let's say it blows down, a hurricane or wind. So then, if you say it's a concept of bizui mitzvah, there's no more mitzvah here. But it is still huksal mitzvah. So once you designated it for for those days, so then it would still be Huxlo Mitzvaso. That's Tosas. Other Rishonim give other answers. Where, because we're machmer by Huxlo Mitzvaso, even by Chol HaMoed, as I mentioned yesterday. But, see, if you look in the little Tosas Yishanim here on the side, he says, maybe Huxlo Mitzvaso is really one concept. It's Huxlo Mitzvaso because of the concept of Bizui Mitzvah. Bizui Mitzvah is the motivation why they said, it's Huxlo Mitzvaso. But really, both of them work with each other. Like here, the Gemara doesn't seem to have two different concepts. The Gemara quotes this relating to Bizui Mitzvah. So that, according to that approach, it fits in well to the Lashon HaGemara.
What about the fact that Sukkah
decorations
is the Hidr Mitzvah?
But even though the Sukkah decorations are a Hidr Mitzvah, that is still part of a Mitzvah. You've designated for the Mitzvah. And it relates to what we mentioned yesterday. Does Hidr Mitzvah become part of the Mitzvah? Or is it something separate? But even if it's something separate, it's enough to have Huxlo Mitzvah. You can't put the crown for the Torah onto your head and walk around like a king, right? Even though it's Hidr Mitzvah, right? That's still Huxlo Mitzvah. Okay, Itmar, Rav Amar, Ein Malikin Minyan L'Ner B'Shmuel Amar Malikin. Three machlokas in between Rav and Shmuel. Number one is Rav says you're not allowed to light from one Hanukkah candle to the next one. Shmuel Amar Madlikin. Shmuel says you're allowed to. We'll get to the reasons for that in a minute. Rav Amar Ein Matirin says we begad lebegad. Shmuel Amar Matirin. Machlok is not for now. Rav says you're allowed to take tzitzis off of an old begad of tzitzis and put it onto a new one, and you're not allowed to. Shmuel says you're allowed to. Parallel machlokas. Again, different reasons. Matirin begad lebegad. Rav Amar third machlokas. Ein halacha grab Shimon begreira. Rav says the halacha is not like Rav Shimon when it comes to dragging a bench on Shabbos. We know this, Reb Shimon. Ushmuel Amar Halacha Reb Shimon Begreira. And Shmuel says the halacha is like Reb Shimon by dragging a bench. What's the case? If you remember, it's what we call Davar She'eno Miskave. If you do Act A on Shabbos, which might or might not cause Act B. Act B is Usser. But if you do Act A, I'm going to drag a bench, and I'm not sure if it's going to make a ditch in the ground or not. That's called the Davar She'enu Miskaven, and that's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon on Shabbos. We pass it like Rabbi Shimon, that a Davar She'enu Miskaven is mutter, an amazing chiddush. Because usually, if I have a suffix, I mean, this is not an exact parallel, but if I have a piece of meat on my table, and I'm not sure if it's kosher or not, am I allowed to eat it? It's a suffix! It's okay! It's a suffix! What's a halacha is something that writes in the Chumrah. I can't eat this. It's a suffix and it might be a problem. All of a sudden, by Hilcha Shabbos, we have a concept called Meleches Machsheves. You're only chayev for exactly thought out work. So if I do Act A, which is Mutter, and it might cause Act B, but it might not cause Act B, we paskin Mutter, Mutter, Mutter. If it's for sure going to cause Act B, that's called the Psik Resha, and it's Aser Midaraisa. But if it might cause Act B, that's this case of Greira. We paskin like Reb Shimon. Amar Abaya, Komili Demar, Ovid Karav, Labar Mehani Tzvas. All over, we always go like Rav when it comes to Isurim, except for these three cases. To Ovid Kishmuel. We basically like Shmuel, Laheter, in all these three cases. Maligi Miner Laner, you can light from one candle to another. Umatir Mi Begad LaBegad, you can undo one begad to another. One tzitzis from one to another. Vahalacha Grab Shimon Begreira, the halacha like Rab Shimon. Detanya, which Rab Shimon? Rab Shimon Omer, Rab Shimon says, Gober Adam, Mita, Kisi Vesavsal, a person is allowed to drag a chair, a bench, Ubilvachel, right, or a shez in the backyard. Ubilvachel is common, lasos kritz, as long as you don't have kavana to do the malacha. If you have kavana, then it's going to be aser. But if you don't have kavana, it's a davar shein miskave, and it might not happen. Therefore, it is mutter. Okay, so those are the three machlokes in between Rav and Shmuel. Let's get back talking about the first one. The first one, Rav says, you're allowed to light from one Chanukah candle, you're not allowed to light from one Chanukah candle to the other one, and Shmuel says you're allowed to. So what is Shitas Rav? Why does Rav say it's aser to light from one to the other? First opinion is that it's bizui mitzvah. It's a disgrace to have a mitzvah, a Chanukah candle that's a mitzvah, and to light from it. We will learn in a minute that, let's say you are using a match. That is going to be the problem here. Meaning you're not going directly from one candle to another. You're using a match or a splinter or something inside to move from one to another. Therefore, Rav says it's a bizayon to go from a mitzvah candle to a nothing, even though you're going to a mitzvah candle in a minute. That's why he says it's a bizui mitzvah, because you're using a middleman that is not kadosh. Amar lahu, lo tatzisu le'taymi d'Rav mishum d'komachish mitzvah. Lo tatzisu le'. I don't want to listen to you. There's a different reason for Rav. Machish mitzvah. Machish means to weaken. Rashi here explains, when you light something from a candle, it gives the appearance that you're lessening and weakening that candle. Even though you're not really, flame's a flame. Flame could just add to another flame. But Rashi says, mechzi. It appears like you're taking away and you're lessening the original candle. So Machlokas and the Gemara get these straight for the next couple of lines of Gemara. 2 days in the Gemara. What is the reason that Rav says you can't light miner l'ner? Is it bizui mitzvah, a disgrace to the candle, or machish mitzvah, a weakening of the candle? My binaya, what's the difference between these two opinions? Ika binayu dekamavik mishraga l'shraga. Ah, if you're able to light directly from one Chanukah candle to the other Chanukah candle without a match in the middle. Lamanda Amar Mishum Bizui Mitzvah Mishraga Lishraga Mazlak. According to the first opinion, Bizui, that it's a disgrace, that this isn't a disgrace, you're going from one mitzvah candle to another mitzvah candle. That's not a bizayon. Right? It's only a bizayon if you have a middle thing, if you have to take a match to go from one to the other. But according to the one who said it's about a weakening of the mitzvah, then even if you light from one mitzvah candle to the other mitzvah candle, it still gives the appearance that the first candle is losing something, and therefore it's going to be usser. Okay, so that's a machlokas between bizui mitzvah and machish mitzvah. Fine. One ha'ara. According to, which we're going to refer to in a minute, but let's just get it clear before we turn the amud. According to the manda amar of bizui mitzvah, right, according to the first manda amar, so what does it say? That Rav would allow going from one candle to the other candle. So what's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, according to that opinion? The machlokas, there's only one other case. If even Rav agrees that candle to candle is okay, the machlokas is about if there's a kisim, if there's a middle thing. If there's a middle thing going from one candle to the other candle, Rav says us or Shmuel says mutter. Okay, that's because Shmuel says something is more mutter than Rav. So just know, according to the Mandura Bizui Mitzvah, the machlokas is about kisim. According to the second opinion, Achushi mitzvah, it's weakening. Rav even asers candle to candle. So the Ritva says here, we like to be memayt b'machlokas, so we don't want to say Shmuel matters everything and Rav asers everything. So according to the second version, Rav says it's usher to go from candle to candle. So Shmuel would say you're allowed to go from candle to candle. But everybody would agree that you can't use a middle one. That's how the Rishonim and the Gemara understands the this machlokas. According to the first man to Arbor, the machlokas is about kisem. According to the second man to Arbor, the machlokas is about going from candle to candle. But everybody would agree that using a middle thing is aser. With that background, we go. Masav Rav Avi, and Rav Avi asks a question on the first opinion. Meiser Sheni, the Gemara takes out those two words, sel ashel. Meiser Sheni. A chocolate kenegdo dinari zahav afilo chalalav meiser sheni. Acher. We know there's a concept called meiser sheni, which means in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year of Shemitah, after giving Truma Gadola to the Kohen and meiser Rishon to the Levi, I take a tenth of what is left and bring those fruit up to Yerushalayim and eat it within the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. During the third and the sixth year, there's Meiser Ani instead of Meiser Sheni. But during 1, 2, 4, and 5, those years, we bring Meiser Sheni. What happens if I live in Tveria and it's such a schlep to bring? I have bundles and wagons full of fruit. I'm going to bring this all up to the Yerushalayim? There's no way. So there's a concept called Pidyon Meiser Sheni. You're allowed to redeem it. I'm allowed to put all the fruit on one side and put some money on the other side and say, all the Kedusha from this fruit should go to this money. Wham! This money now is Kedusha. I take the money up to Yerushalayim and I buy special foods in Yerushalayim and Yotzezayin, I fulfilled my mitzvah of Meiser Sheni. That's called Pidyon Meiser Sheni. So says this line in the Gemara. What happens if I did that? So I have Meiser Sheni money here that is Kadosh. It has Kedusha. That's holiness, right? I put the Kedusha of the fruit onto this money. And I want to be Podes some other Meiser Sheni. I have other fruit that I'm going to use other money to use. But I just have to figure out, like remember in the olden days, they didn't have just money like we have. They had metal. They had precious metals, and you have to weigh the metals to see how much it is in order to get how much it's worth. So let's say I have a scale, and I'm going to put my Meiser Sheni money, which is already Meiser Sheni money, it's Kadosh, I'm going to put it on one side of the scale, and I'm going to use that Kadosh money to weigh Chulin money, to weigh non-Kadosh money, to see how much it weighs in order to use that money in a minute to do Meiser Sheni. Right? So remember, it's a similar idea to the splinter in the middle. This money now is Chulin, but it's going to be used for a mitzvah in a minute, but can I use this holy Kadosh money to weigh this Chulin money in order to use it for a mitzvah in 5 minutes from now? That's the question. So says the Gemara, ain't shokel kenegdo. You're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do that. Even though it's going from, it's, you're using a Davar Kedusha, and you're going to use this Chulin thing for a Davar Kedusha in a minute, it's still Aser. So says the Gemara. So with that background, I think the question becomes obvious. If the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is going directly from candle to candle, meaning the second opinion, aval bekinsa aser Shmuel, but if you use a middle, a match, then even Shmuel would aser, halo avichufta, then there's no question. Because Shmuel asers with a middle thing, and that's exactly what the Gemara says here. So both Rav and Shmuel would aser using a middle item between two mitzvos, right? Just like Maaser Sheni, this money is a mitzvah, and the other money is going to be used for Maaser Sheni in a minute, so too lighting from a candle to a candle on Hanukkah with a middle match, that's aser. Exactly like here. But according to the first opinion, that how we explain the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, Shmuel matirs, even if you use a match in the middle. So then, ha'havi tiyufta, then it's against this line about Maaser Sheni. Because Maaser Sheni here, it says you're not allowed to weigh the Maaser Sheni onto chulin money, even though you're going to use the chulin money in 5 minutes to make kadosh from other Maaser Sheni fruit. So why should that be usher? Shmuel says it's mutter to use the splinter as a middleman. So Gemara says, it's a kasha. No kasha, really, me'ikar hadin, it should be mutter, like Shmuel says by Chanukah. But what's happening by Chanukah? So I take a match, I take it from one Chanukah candle, and I'm going to another candle. So it's vada going to happen. But what might happen by the money? I'm going to weigh out the money, and then maybe something else will come up, and my wife will come in and say, I'm going to the store, I need some money, I need some and she'll take the money and she'll go. So it could be maybe there's a gzeira d'rabanan because I might not ever use this for the mitzvah in 5 minutes from now. By a candle, it's pretty sure. It's lit, you're going to use it. But by money, it might not. So that's why there's a separate gzeira there. So that explains no kasha on Shmuel.
So if the sham, when you light the candle, the shamish goes out.
Yeah.
Can you light it from the...
No. If the shamish goes out, you can't light it from a mitzvah candle. Because the shamish is extra. We're going to get to more of that in a minute. But that's this halacha. Masiv Rav Sheshes. We'll get to a little more of Halacha Lamaisa, Alex, tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, when we get to the second Tosas on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. That's when we get to the end of the Gemara. So we might not get to the Lamaisa totally today. Masiv Rav Sheshes. Michus l'parochas o'edus yaroch. There's a mitzvah to put the menorah right outside the parochas. We know the parochas, which separates in the Beis HaMikdash. The parochas, the curtain, separated the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. The Kodesh Kodashim had the Aron in it. The Heichal, which is called the Kodesh, was right outside the curtain. There's a kaporis and a parochas. Remember when I was younger, I always got mixed up in school. Kaporis is the gold cover to the Aron. The parochas is the curtain between the Kodesh Kodashim and the Kodesh. In the Kodesh, what's in the Kodesh? Three kalim in the Kodesh. You have the shulchan in the north. You have the table with the breads. You have the little mizbeach in the middle, the mizbeach hazav. And on the bottom, you have the menorah. Those are the three kalim in the heichal right outside the parochas. So it says, from this pasuk, right outside the parochas, you have to set up the candles. V'chilo ora hutzarech. Why do you have to light a menorah? Do we need the light? Is it dark in the Beis HaMikdash? V'alu kolar b'am shana shalach b'nei soba midbar. Lo halcha la ora. Hashem gives us light. We don't have to light for Him. So what's the purpose of lighting the menorah? Ela edus hi labai olam sha'ashchina shor b'Yisrael. But really, it's testimony that the Shechina is shore. What's testimony? I can light a candle in my house. That's testimony. What's the testimony? So Gemara says, my edus, what's so special? Omar Rav, or Omar Rava on the side, Zu Ner Ma'aravi. No, you know what the testimony is? The Western candle. Shenosin ba'ashem man kibidas chavoseha. You know what the nace, it was like a nace, because in the Ner Ma'aravi, we'll talk about which candle that is in a minute. One of the, remember, there are seven branches of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Even though ours have eight branches. There's an Isser to make a menorah like it was in the Beis HaMikdash. But ours have eight, our Chanukah menorahs. But in the Beis HaMikdash they had seven, and there was a machlokes which way it was in the south, like I just said. The menorah was in the south side of the Heichal. But there was a machlokes whether it was situated east-west or north-south. How was it lined up? It was in the south, but which direction was it facing? North-south or east-west? So that's a machlokes. So if it was, so that's, that machlokes, it has a nafkamina, what is the western candle? If it's north-south, so they say the western candle was the middle one. That's what the Gemara Rashi explains the Gemara Menachas. But if it was east-west, then the western candle was the second to east, because that was west of the last one. Okay, either way, but it was one of the candles of the menorah was special, and you put in exactly amount, the same amount of oil as its friends, umimeda hayamavlik. But you lit that one first, and it lit all the other candles. From it, you lit all the other candles. Ubahayim Messiah, and that was the last one that went out every day. And that was the last one you had to clean every day. That was the nace, that it lasted longer than the other candles. That's how the Shekhinah, that's how you know the Shekhinah is with Bnei Yisrael. But it asks the Gemara, V'hahacha, what does it say here? It says that you lit from one candle to the other candle. So the Gemara says, Kimet the Kvi Neiros, Losai de la Mishka Vadluke. Right? So it's these are sturdy set candles. You can't move them in the menorah. So what must it be? It must be you use the middle thing to light from one candle to the other candle. So if you have to use the middle thing, that's a kasha according to both opinions. According to both opinions, you can't light with a middle thing, according to Rav. According to Shmuel, at least one opinion is a kasha. So kasha, bein lamanda arim shem bizui mitzvah, bein lamanda arim shem achushi mitzvah. Right? So it's a kasha. Right? How could you light from one candle to the other candle? They can't move, so you must be using a middle thing. So tirgem erapapa v'psilas haruchos. No, you have very long wicks. You have very long wick. A wick could reach to the other candle, so really you're not using anything in between to light from one candle to the other. You're going directly from candle to candle. So therefore, at least that helps Shmuel, according to both opinions, and it helps Rav, at least according to the second opinion. The Gemara says, one second, so the Manda Amar B'Shem Achushe Mitzvah Kasha, but I, according to the Manda Amar of Achushe Mitzvah, it's still a question, because according to that Shita, Achushe Mitzvah, it says Rav says you can't even go from, you can't even go, you can't even use Psilos Aruchos, candle to candle. So where's this Kasha? Okay, it's a Kasha. We don't answer it. Fine. So my Havila, what's the halacha? What are we passing by this case of that lighting directly from candle to candle or not lighting from candle to candle? So my Havila, Amar Vunibre de Yeshua, Chazina. It's based on another Bachlokas. Ihad locha osa mitzvah, maliki min el aner. Ihad nacha osa mitzvah, ein maliki min el aner. We have a question, which we'll talk about in a minute, and that is, we know this from Hilchas Chanukah, had locha osa mitzvah or hanacha osa mitzvah. Is the mitzvah of Chanukah focus on the act of lighting? That's the ikker. And therefore, everything has to be set and perfect when I light, because right when I light, that is the mitzvah. Or hanach osa mitzvah. I can light it wherever, but the placement of the menorah down when it's lit, that's the mitzvah. Hanach osa mitzvah. That's the machlokes. So says the Gemara, that machlokes is really our issue. If you say, hadlaka osa mitzvah, that lighting is the mitzvah, so then, says the Gemara, you can light from one candle to the next. You know why? Because that's not a bizayon for the first candle. Because you're using the first candle to do a mitzvah right now. You're hadlaka osa mitzvah. But if you say hanacha osa mitzvah, the placement, so then the second that you're lighting, you're not doing the mitzvah yet. It's only after when you place it in the correct spot. So therefore, if you say hanacha osa mitzvah, then you would say that you can't light from one candle to the next, because then you're using a mitzvah candle for a non-mitzvah usage. That's how we parallel the two machloksim. The boilu, because after all, we have the suffik. Hadlaka osa mitzvah or hanacha osa mitzvah. We have a suffik. What do you say? Is the lighting the mitzvah or is the placement the mitzvah? Rashi here says two words. The end of the first really wide line of Rashi. Two words. Kida ashkachan b'menorah. So Achron remember dying from that Rashi. Right? This is another parallel where we connect the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah to the mitzvah of Ner in the Beis HaMikdash. Just like the Baal Amora did yesterday, they quote from this Rashi. This discussion of halakha osa mitzvah or halakha osa mitzvah, why would you say halakha osa mitzvah by Chanukah? Because that halakha osa mitzvah was what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. It had to be mudlak in the exact place where it was supposed to be. Because that's only one side. So you might say that, do you go this far in terms of its connection? Or do you say, halacha osa mitzvah is connected, but not regarding all halachas? That's how you would interpret it. Tashma, let's do a little bit more. But it says clearly in this Gemara that in the Beis HaMikdash, according to Rashi at least, it was hadlaka osa mitzvah. Right? So therefore, we'll get to a big kasha on the Rambam in a minute. We'll end off today with a kasha in a minute. But Tashma, let's try to prove this first. Hadlaka or hanach osa mitzvah. Da'amar Rava, hayatav is ner chanukah va'omeid, lo asa v'lo klum. Let's say you light your Chanukah candle, and you hold it in your hands the whole time, for 40 minutes, and then it goes out. So says the Gemara, lo asa v'lo klum, you're not yotzi your mitzvah. So does Shemami no hanach osa mitzvah? Doesn't that show that you need a placement of the menorah? So that proves the shita of hanach osa mitzvah, because you lit it. So Gemara says, no, really, maybe hazlach osa mitzvah, but there is a different problem. Hasam haroi omer l'sarcha hu denakale. The person, there'll be a lack of persume nisa there, because they'll think you're using it to read something. You have it in your hands, you didn't put it down. So because there's a problem, so that's why it's pasul, but not because hanach osa mitzvah. Tashma, another try. If you lit it inside and then you took it out and put it in its proper place, nothing. So this proves now. So this proves halakha osa mitzvah. Because halakha osa mitzvah not only means that the lighting is the ikker, but it also means that the entire situation of the kiyum ha-mitzvah has to be in place at the moment that you light it. You can't light it in a place of psul and then move it. That's what halakha also, a mitzvah also means. It has to be lit in the place where it's perfect to fulfill the mitzvah. So that's why here, if you lit it and then you took it to its proper place, it would be pasul. Elaiyam etanacho is a mitzvah, my loss of a loklum. But again, if you say the placement is the mitzvah, what's wrong with lighting it in a bad place and then putting it down in a good place? So Gemara again says, really, it's a side problem. Hasam nami haroa hu omer l'sarchuhu za'azlaka. Now here too, because the roa, the one who sees, is going to say, you know, why is he moving his menorah? Does he need it? Is he going to read something? Does he want to learn something? So again, it's a problem, not because fundamentally hazlaka is a mitzvah, but because there's a lack of persumei nisa. Okay, in the Gemara, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue trying to prove hazlaka or anacha is a mitzvah. But let me just leave with a kasha, which Bez Hashem will answer tomorrow. What does this Gemara say, at least according to Rashi? That in the Beis HaMikdash, hazlaka is a mitzvah. In the Beis HaMikdash, the lighting is the mitzvah, and therefore everything has to be in place at the moment that you light it. All the conditions of the Kiyam HaMitzvah. The Menachas Chinuch asks, all my life I've been bothered by the Rambam. He doesn't answer it. He says, all my life, Shanim, Hikshesi al Rambam. The Rambam Paskins in Hilchos, Bias Mikdash, that a Zar, a Yisrael, is allowed to light the menorah in the base of Mikdash. That's what the Rambam Paskins. And the Kasha is, what do you mean a Zar? A Zar is not allowed to go into the Heichal. So he's going to take it out, and he's going to light it, and the Kohen's going to bring it back in. Halakha is a mitzvah. You can't do that. It has to be lit in the place where it's kosher to be lit. So he says, Shanim Hikshesi. So that's it. Tomorrow we'll start off with Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim answers that Kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. Okay, but today's shiur was Lozech Nishbas, Yisrael Issam, and Sion Ben Yaakov. Amen.
One Mishnah in chat that mentions kind of also. Yeah.
You should have corrected me.
Huh?
You should have corrected me.
I didn't want to say anything.
Come on, why not?
I didn't want to say anything. I'll show you.
I have to correct it tomorrow. Wait, which